Think Again with Borderlands Cooperative.
Join us for critical conversations about things that matter.
Every Friday at 10 a.m. on 3CR Community Radio, 855 a.m. on your dial.
And 3CR Digital, streaming live at 3cr.org.au.
So together, let's think again about important matters affecting us, like economics,
politics,
education,
health,
climate,
and what we can do about it all.
Welcome to our 307th program of Think Again, which is being broadcast from the 3CR studio on the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. Think Again is a program of Borderlands Cooperative, an organisation working for social change since the late 90s. I'm Jennifer Burrell, your host today, with Jacques having a week off to concentrate on Borderlands stuff and to help organise the Community Development Conference at Borderlands in October, which I'll talk more about later. Today we have Belinda Curtis joining us on the line from Dementia Australia. Belinda has the wonderful title of National Manager, Dementia Friendly Communities, which is a great signaller that dementia is not an individual medical condition. Rather, it happens in settings and contexts in which people interact with other people and with communities and with their physical and within their physical and natural environments. So it will be great to hear more about that from our guests. So welcome to the program, Belinda Curtis.
Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you very much for having me.
Real pleasure. So firstly, Belinda, can you tell us briefly about Dementia Australia and your role?
Yeah, sure. So Dementia Australia is the national peak body supporting people living with dementia, their families and carers. And presently in Australia, there's an estimated 433,300 Australians living with dementia.
Well, that's a lot. And that's nearly half a million.
Mm. Yes, yeah, exactly. And there's also approximately 1.7 million people involved in their care. Mm. And this might be shocking to some people, but dementia is the second leading cause of death in Australia. And all the statistics are pointing to that becoming the first fairly soon. And yet it still remains a relatively challenging and often misunderstood condition.
Sorry, go on.
And I was just going to say Dementia Australia responds to the challenge. And we provide trusted information, education and support services to not only people living with dementia and carers, but also to people who are working in the health and aged care sectors. And we advocate strongly to government and in the community for positive change. So we work really hard to equip communities with tools and knowledge to make their society more dementia-friendly, and that's where my role comes in. So the Dementia Friendly Communities program works with communities to raise awareness and to create supportive and inclusive communities so that we are able to address the stigma and isolation that people living with dementia and carers often experience.
Fabulous. And such a progressive model too. Can you tell us a bit about dementia itself? I think most listeners will have their own ideas and impressions of what dementia is, but it seems there's a lot of misconceptions too. And I must confess, I've realised researching for this show, I had a few misconceptions myself. So if you could tell us about dementia, that would be great.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're right there, Jen. I think a lot of people think it's just memory loss and that it happens to only very old people, people in their 80s and 90s. And that's actually not an accurate picture. So just to give your listeners a bit more information. So dementia is the umbrella term for more than 100 conditions that can lead to dementia. And Alzheimer's disease is one of the most common forms of dementia that people will probably be familiar with, but there are other types. So the other most common would be frontotemporal dementia, also Lewy body dementia. So there are a couple of the others that are reasonably common. We also, dementia is a brain condition, and importantly, it's not a normal part of ageing. So dementia can affect people in a variety of ways, but the key things would be that it affects people's mood, their memory, thinking and behaviour. So again, it's not just about memory, it's about those other things as well. And it can happen to anybody. So as I said, it's not just for people that are aged, you know, in their 80s or 90s, but dementia does tend to onset after the age of 65. Mm. Although there are forms of dementia that affect people at younger ages. And, I mean, sadly, there's currently no cure, but there are treatments for many of the symptoms, and some of the things that we do through dementia-friendly communities can certainly help people living with dementia to live well.
Mm. Yeah, and I think you mentioned to me that people, when they think of dementia, like, for example, if they get a diagnosis or someone in their family gets a diagnosis, they immediately go to the worst scenario, but I think you said symptoms may be mild at first, and there can
be a lot
of capability, and a lot of people still have full and active lives for a long time.
That's right, and I think you know, some of the things that we often see, so common signs or symptoms that we see people experience early on would be trouble identifying everyday items. So, for example, they might go to make a cup of coffee, but they can't quite remember what the kettle does in the process. Mm. Or, you know, they might start to have a bit of trouble using their mobile phone, or there could even be some changes in mood. So, you know, someone who was previously very social, they may no longer want to catch up with their friends for their regular coffee catch-up each week. So there's some of the little things that we see, but there are also little things that people can be helped and supported to continue to do in their daily lives, which will add to and, you know, provide that sense of well-being and, you know, enable people to continue to live their lives as best as they can.
So they shouldn't, people shouldn't be put off getting a diagnosis if they think they might be having some of the symptoms. It sounds like they could be addressed, but if they put it off, it might become worse if you're in denial.
Yeah, I would actually strongly encourage people, if they have got any concerns about their memory or their cognitive function, to please go and speak to their GP, because absolutely, Jennifer, if people get an early diagnosis, they're more likely to start doing the things that are going to help slow the progression of the condition that's impacting on them. Mm. So there aren't many medical treatments out there, but there are certainly a lot of things we can do in the community so that people remain connected, because social isolation can actually be a really, really big impact, or can have a really big impact on people's, well, mental health, but also the progression of dementia.
Yep, great. So I think that's a great segue into talking about your work with communities, Belinda. So in your work as National Manager of National Manager Dementia Friendly Communities, I understand you work at a grassroots level with a range of communities across Australia. So can you describe your approach and some of the processes you follow working with communities?
Yes. So we take a community development approach, and I guess I'll just put that in plain language for people. So what we do is we come in and work with communities to help them to identify the strengths that they have. And so, for example, you know, who's got a meeting room where a group can come together? Who's got some money? So if there's service clubs, or, you know, the local council might have some grants that they run. So it's really about finding out who's got what in their community. But the most important aspect of it is that the community members who want to take some action, that they involve people living with dementia and carers in early discussions, so that they can find out from them, well, what's actually affecting them? What do people living with dementia in their community need help with? Because what we actually see is that often people will want to do something to support their community members living with dementia, but they might make assumptions about what that is. So, for example, you know, they might go, oh, I know, we'll set up a choir. But unless they actually ask the people in their local community that whether that's what's needed, they could be, you know, embarking down a path to set something up that, although would be great, it might not actually be what people need. And I guess an example I would give is some work that we did in Geraldton in WA, in the Midwest there in WA. We went in and helped them create some initiatives. And the first things we did was held a couple of community consultations, which involved some of the local service providers as well as people living with dementia and carers. And we did a follow-up workshop. And what we were able to find, well, what we found out through that process was that people living with dementia and carers were really, well, carers in particular, were in desperate need of some respite from their caring role so that they could go and do shopping and, you know, go to their, you know, appointments, you know, get their hair done, have a couple of with friends and, you know, just to be a normal person, not be a carer for an hour of a day. And people living with dementia were saying fairly similar things. You know, they wanted to still be able to connect with others, but they wanted to connect with people who understood. So what that resulted in was that community has set up a carer support group and a social connection group for people living with dementia, and they are both supported or coordinated by some of the local service providers on the ground there. And the meeting spaces are provided by the council free of charge. And so it's a really, really great outcome for that community.
And I like the way the word consultation has had a pretty bad rap over the years, whereas a lot of people complain about token consultation. So, for example, if some infrastructure's already been designed and the tender's gone out and the contract of the developer's been accepted, so all the big decisions have already been made and the community gets consulted, what colour would you like the footpath or something like that. So I really like with your consultation, it's like really genuine because you go back to the start. And you ask them, what do you want?
And that's right.
As well as looking at what strengths and that they can bring to the table and the strengths of the community and the resources and assets, you're saying, what do you actually want? And then you've got people on board because they've got ownership from the start.
That's right. Mm. And the really critical part of that too is that, you know, we can't be everywhere all the time. And so it's really important that we build the capacity in the community. And so that's why also going hand in hand with that is the awareness raising piece, because the more the community understands about dementia and how it's impacting on their locals who are living with it or who are caring for someone, the better equipped they'll all be to support and help. And so that's what we're trying to do here too through Dementia Friendly Communities, is to really make it, you know, give that ownership, as you said, to the whole community. It's not just something that's impacting on, you know, a couple of members of their community. And incidentally, you know, roughly 70% of people with a dementia diagnosis are living in the community. Mm. They're not in aged care. Mm. So there are a lot of people out there walking around enjoying their lives who are living with dementia and no one knows. So through that, you know, a little bit of awareness, the community can actually start to see, oh, I can see, you know, let's just say Bob over there is having a little bit of trouble paying for his groceries. He's not really sure what he's doing with his wallet. So it just gives people that little bit of awareness so that when they see something like that, they go, oh, I know Bob might have dementia, so maybe I can just go and help him.
Yeah, and you're really helping enrich the connections in that community.
That's right.
On an ongoing basis. So I'll just remind our listeners, you're listening to Think Again, 3CR 855 AM on your dial, 3CR digital and streaming at 3cr.org.au. I'm Jennifer Burrell, and today we are joined by Belinda Curtis, who is National Manager, Dementia Friendly Communities at Dementia Australia. So Belinda, I'm really interested in taking the understanding of dementia away from individual medicalised conceptions and recognising that it's something that happens in interaction with other people and in social and physical environments, even while recognising the biological, important biological dimension. So as you know, I was inspired by a Dementia Australia project in the Adelaide Hills, where businesses in a shopping strip came on board to create dementia-friendly spaces where people with dementia felt welcome and safe in shops and cafes. So I'm wondering, can you talk a bit about this approach and perhaps provide some examples of other projects that you've supported or facilitated?
Yeah, great. Look, I think one of the other key elements of the program is we work with local businesses. So, you know, banks, cafes, libraries, community centres, really any place where people living with dementia and carers may frequent. And we take them through a process of looking at their physical environment, but also the way that they deliver their customer service too. So we do that also in, again, consultation with people living with dementia, because what we say to the businesses is the way you're going to know if your business is supportive and inclusive and enabling for a person with dementia is to actually ask your customers who are living with dementia. So that's one of the first things we say to them. Look, do you know if you've got any customers who are living with dementia? And if they say no, well, we say, well, why don't you start asking them, you know, even just put a letter out to your customers, or put something up in the, you know, a sign up in your window asking for some feedback. And if that fails, then we've also got people who are living with dementia and carers who are part of another of our flagship programs, the Dementia Advocates Program. So we can also connect businesses to dementia advocates so that they can help them identify the modifications or just some of the adjustments that that business can make to improve the experience for people living with dementia. And some of those things, you know, they could be very costly if they wanted to, like replacing carpet that could look a little bit like ants crawling all over it, or, you know, changing furniture and things like that. But most things are fairly cost effective and fairly easy to do. So, for example, a person with dementia will find a big black mat in front of a doorway may look like a hole to them, like a hole in the ground. So replacing that black mat with a mat that's more aligned to the colour of the floor, that's going to be less jarring for a person with dementia. Also putting up some signage, putting up some visual cues to help people navigate the space. If it's a cafe, putting some contrasting tablecloths to the crockery so that it's not white on white on white, because, again, with the contrast, that helps a person with dementia identify different objects so that they can actually distinguish between the plate that they're eating off and the table that, that the plate's on. So there's little things that people can do that really don't cost a lot of money, but it makes all the difference to a person with dementia.
Yeah, and I would think there'd be a lot of shopping strips whose business association for that shopping strip might be interested, especially, you know, if there's a lot of older people, I guess, who are more likely to have dementia living in the area. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have done a lot of work with local businesses. I was literally in Port Lincoln on Tuesday, and there's a beautiful boutique there called Blue Illusion, and they've taken great lengths to support their customers who are living with dementia. So they've got arrangements with the husband, or yes, usually the husband, because it's a ladies boutique, ladies fashion boutique. So if one of the ladies comes in and she's identified an item that she'd like to purchase, and because she's not able to cognitively process the whole purchasing aspect, the ladies at the boutique will hold that item, and they'll call her husband, and he'll come in and pay for it, and or she can take the item and he'll come in and pay for it afterwards. So they do things like that, and that's what we're talking about here. It's little things like that that make all the difference.
And I saw a program, a project on your website, I think, with the National Gallery of Victoria. Yeah, I really liked the look of that. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so the National Gallery of Victoria, they've done some fantastic things because, as you can probably appreciate, they're not really able to make a lot of modification to the building itself. But what they have been able to do is to curate a dementia-friendly, I guess, a guided tour. Mm-hmm. So they've identified certain pieces of art. They provide chairs so that people can come and sit, and they'll give a talk about that piece of art. And also it's very interactive, so the people attending this tour are encouraged to discuss the artwork, you know, interact with each other and with the piece. So, yeah. Again, it's giving people a really full experience of being at the gallery, but taking away some of the anxiety and stress of having to try and navigate the space. And, you know, because some displays can also be a sensory issue for people with dementia as well. So particularly where there's modern art, you know, if there's strobes or things like that. So galleries are taking those things into consideration, and the NGV did this and curated a tour that had minimal sensory impact.
Yeah, and I think one thing that stood out to me about it was that the people with dementia often support programs look at the person not having capability, they're someone to be helped. Whereas what I noticed was they were equal participants in it. They were giving their reflection.
Right.
So people sit around the carers, person with dementia, they can actually offer their thoughts and feelings and interpretations of the piece of art that they're looking at and enter into the, they're bringing their own gifts to the conversation.
That's right. That's right. And it's actually a fundamental element of the Dementia Friendly Communities program, is that we see people's strengths and abilities and recognise that before the diagnosis, there was a person who's had a full and rich life, who's got, you know, years of work experience, years of developing relationships and connections and interests, and, you know, and that doesn't stop the day the diagnosis comes. Yes, their life changes, but that change can happen quite gradually in terms of the degree, the disease progression. And what we need to do as a community is just recognise that we need to make some changes and adaptations to support people that have got a diagnosis of dementia to continue to do the things that they love and enjoy, and the things that bring community enrichment as well. Like, if we don't, if we lose their voices from our society, we are losing some richness in the tapestry of life.
Wow, that's so well put. And I'm thinking there are a lot of lessons we can learn from this approach to apply to all aspects of community, life and society.
Absolutely. And look, I think, you know, just to go slightly off topic for a minute, but, you know, when we talk about ageing, again, you know, there's a lot of people out there who are in their 80s and 90s, and they've got some amazing experiences and amazing stories to share and things that they can teach and educate younger generations. And so, again, through our program, we really encourage that intergenerational connection because we are seeing that there's a larger gap between the generations now, you know, and there are a lot of young people who are growing up without grandparents and in some cases without parents once they hit their sort of mid-20s to 30s. So, you know, connecting people from different generations is really critical to, again, sharing knowledge and building those community connections.
Wonderful. Thank you, Belinda. Now, I'm aware that so quickly we're coming to the end as usual. So finally, what can listeners do if they want to know more or support your work with communities with Dementia Australia, especially if they want to help create a dementia-friendly community or space?
Yes, thank you, Jennifer. So I'd encourage any of the listeners interested to go onto Dementia Australia's website, and that address is dementia.org.au, and they can find the Dementia Friendly Communities tab under the Get Involved tab. Fabulous. Alternatively, people can call our National Dementia Helpline, and this is for any question about anything to do with dementia, including Dementia Friendly Communities, but anyone can call the helpline. You don't have to be a person with a diagnosis of dementia, and that number is 1-800-100-500. And just to give a little plug too for Dementia Action Week, which is coming up in September. And the theme for this year is Nobody Can Do It Alone. So I guess that's kind of the theme of Dementia Friendly Communities all anyway.
All for life. Thank you.
Yes. True.
So thank
you. We all need help.
Thank you so much, Belinda Curtis, for coming on our program today and sharing information about dementia and your great work with Dementia Australia, helping to create dementia-friendly communities. And it's been quite inspiring, I think, and really nice to be reminded also that there are good things happening in and by communities amidst all the darker news that we're witnessing as well. So thanks so much for coming on the program.
Thank you so much for having me, Jen. It's been an absolute pleasure.
You're very welcome. And now to a couple of community announcements. Don't forget the Community Development Conference being held at Borderlands in Footscray from the 16th to the 18th of October this year. The conference is called Regenerating Communities, Community Development in Victoria. Communities, workers and activists are all invited to tell stories of battles and successes and learn from each other and generate hope and solidarity for the future and the work ahead. So I'll put the link on our program page. If you're not connected online, you can ring 0416 200 922. So if you didn't catch that, grab your pen, 0416 200 922. Also, on Sunday, the 24th of August, we have nationwide marches for Palestine across Australia. As usual, people in Melbourne will meet outside the State Library at 12 noon on Sunday. For other locations, you can visit the APAN website, Australian Palestine Advocacy Network, and I'll put the link on our program page to APAN and also to Free Palestine. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in to Think Again live on 3CR Community Radio today. If you want to contact us or comment on the program, please email borderlands@borderlands.org.au. Our programs are available by podcast on a variety of platforms and on the 3CR website at 3cr.org.au. To end our program for today, please enjoy Milkumana by King Stingray.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.